Our next presentation is Emerging Marketplace Trends Involving Religiously Sponsored Health Systems That Threaten Community Access to Reproductive Health Care. Sheila Reinerson is the Advocacy Coordinator at MergerWatch, providing assistance to communities at the risk of losing health care services. She formerly served as a private childbirth postpartum doula for over 100 families in New York City, and she's founder of a successful CSA in New York City, providing fresh produce from local farms to mixed-income neighborhoods. She currently serves on the Board of Health in Hopewell, New Jersey. She has a master's degree in health advocacy and a BS in medical sociology, both from Sarah Lawrence College.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Can you hear me? So I'm going to launch off from what Lois has talked about. I have a little bit more Catholic hospital report data in my presentation as well. But most of this presentation is based on trends that we've seen in the last 3 years or so because of the increase in merger and acquisition activity that has been going very, very strongly the last 3 years, a trend that hasn't been seen actually since the 1990s, the mid-1990s. Can I see my, is there a way to see my notes with this, with the presentation?
No, I can't.
Oh, you can't see the notes? Oh, okay. So there's a number of causes to the recent trend, including hospitals that are struggling or independent hospitals that want to be with a larger partner. They believe that they'll have a better economy of scale and better be able to better negotiate reimbursement rates and better pricing with insurers and pharma and medical supply lines. They also are coming together because of the Affordable Care Act. There's incentives that offer quality, not quantity, for services. And they also are getting lower reimbursement rates, so being together with a larger partner is optimal. So Washington State is actually a great example of what is happening across the country. We have a situation there where a large number of hospital systems are pursuing relationships with standalone hospitals. Washington State was already a state that had a larger number of Catholic hospitals, acute care hospitals. So Lois talked about how 10% of the country acute care hospitals are Catholic run. In Washington State, that's 35 right now, 35%, and that could reach 44% later this year or the next 18 months as a number of proposals between Catholic and secular hospitals are being considered. That's because three of the largest health systems in Washington State are Catholic: Providence, Peace Health, and Franciscan. And they're competing against each other to take over independent hospitals, struggling public hospitals that are looking for a partner. And they're also creating alliances with well-regarded secular systems, large systems like University of Washington and Swedish Medical Center. So right now we have at least a situation where at least four Catholic secular partners in the state were designed to avoid state oversight and public scrutiny. Their affiliations, not necessarily full asset mergers, which would have triggered a Department of Health review process to that would have required those partnerships to get approval. Most of the proposals that are coming down the pike right now are looser arrangements, so they're avoiding state oversight and thus community participation in dialogue about what these partnerships could mean for community access to reproductive health care. We have a situation where the entire northwest corner of the state could be left with just one small community hospital, a 42-bed hospital, offering a full range of services, and all others would be Catholic. I'll show you that in a map in a second. And it's ironic because this is happening in a state with very progressive policies on reproductive health care and end-of-life care. So here we have a map that's actually slightly outdated. The second to the top county, that's dark, dark blue, that's the county, Skagit County, that could have just one last remaining small community hospital serving the entire northwest corner of the state. if they decide to stay secular. They're still looking for a partner right now. And that is also the fastest growing section in the state. We also have a new county, the large one, right central towards the middle, the very, very large one, that's Yakima County. There's just recently an announcement that Yakima Memorial Hospital, non-sectarian, non-profit hospital, is looking at partners, and of course Peace Health is one of the partners that is sending in a proposal. So that could also become a land-lose county before you know it. So Washington State, being a progressive state, actually has great progressive organizations that we've been working with the last couple of years who have been trying to deal with this situation. They have asked the governor to call for a moratorium on all hospital transactions, but the governor has declined to do so, but did ask the DOH to make some new rules to beef up the CON process and to require hospitals to submit to the Department of Health policies on admissions, anti-discrimination, reproductive health care, and end-of-life care that would then be uploaded onto the Department of Health website. So a stab at transparency for the public. These rules are now being issued, and they're open for public, and by the end of the month, that comments section will be closed, and we'll know probably by the end of the year whether this has a shot of being passed. Parallel track, a state representative who has a public hospital in his district that is now being operated by a Catholic system approached the AG to ask him whether the public hospital's involvement with religious systems was a violation of the Washington Reproductive Privacy Act. And I'll get back to that in 1 minute in another slide. And of course, the broad-based coalition of organizations are also exploring all political potential legislative fixes. The second trend we're seeing is the growth of the for-profit health systems. That was mentioned in Lois's presentation, that they're the fastest growing type of hospital in the country in the data, the decade of data that we looked at, 2001 to 2011, the 46% growth rate is pretty astonishing. And the way that this is playing out in the work that we do is that we're seeing that they're very interested in struggling Catholic hospitals. We have four hospitals in New Jersey right now that could potentially be bought by Prime Healthcare out of California. What's happening there is that sometimes these offers of buying up these Catholic struggling hospitals, the state's very excited about that. They want to make sure that these hospitals stay open and serve the community that they've been traditionally serving. So the state will offer them tax incentives and in some cases debt relief, like the pension plan. Many Catholic hospitals have underfunded pension plans. They also offer to keep conversely, the Catholic hospital selling to the for-profit system will ask that all religious restrictions stay in place indefinitely. And we're finding that the for-profit systems are saying, sure, why not? So we have a situation where the state is giving support to a non-religious entity that is going to promise to keep religious restrictions on healthcare in place indefinitely. We're seeing that the presence of for-profit systems in some communities is creating a unique situation. For instance, in Yamaka, Washington, which I just described, the nonprofit safety net hospital, Yamaka Memorial, is looking at proposals, including two from Catholic systems. And the other hospital in town is a for-profit hospital, which is currently facing a lawsuit for requiring patients to leave a deposit before receiving care. So you have a situation where you're leaving patients with two choices that could compromise or deny care, for-profit policies or religious restrictive policies. Which one do you want to go to? Another big case that we had last year in Waterbury, Connecticut, involved a for-profit system that I'd like to quickly share. This is an economically depressed town. 60% of the maternity patients are served or on Medicaid. A for-profit system out of Texas came to town and started talking to the Catholic hospital, St. Mary. And Waterbury Hospital, the only other hospital in town, the secular hospital, said, hey, wait a minute, we want to be in on these talks too. So LHP Group, out of Texas, proposed a joint venture where they would be 80% owner and the other two hospitals would be 10% owners. They would replace both aging facilities with a brand new $400 million hospital. but religious restrictions would apply in the new facility because they had promised to St. Mary's that they would do this from the beginning. That case fell apart after many, many months of negotiation between the women's health community, the governor's office, state legislators, and the bishop, quite frankly, where we came up with some creative solutions to keep reproductive health services intact. Many of those creative solutions were put off the table because of resistance from the Catholic partner. And in the meantime, the state was offering great tax incentives, like I talked about, an exit ramp off the highway, and they started to feel uncomfortable with this, these incentives, as they realized that the women's health reproductive services solution was not forthcoming. It was not coming together. The solution that was finally acceptable to the Catholic partner was an ambulatory surgery center / nursery, level one nursery. So this would capture women who could have healthy women having healthy babies that wanted a tubal ligation at the time of cesarean. It was a shoddy solution. We had our financial advisor look at the proposal, and it was also financially unsustainable. It was based on inflated reimbursement rates. So we got to say no. We got to say no to this creative solution. And the deal quickly fell apart. LHP walked away, and these two area hospitals are now looking at other partners. Another quick example, Boston, Massachusetts, another for-profit acquisition of 6 Catholic hospitals that were owned by the local archdiocese. A contractual carve-out was a buyout option was worked out that I think it's worth mentioning, whereas the hospitals, if the for-profit entity can prove that the religious restrictions become materially burdensome, then they can stop the restrictions in exchange for a $25 million donation to the archdiocese of the archdiocese choice. This hasn't been triggered yet, that's the con of this solution, but it is one that is in writing, and we've actually promoted it to other scenarios, and it is also in writing in another case in northern Massachusetts. The third trend that I quickly want to cover is the public hospitals that are agreeing to partnerships with religious systems. Like Lois said, public hospitals are decreasing dramatically. Municipalities want to get out of delivering the healthcare, it's too expensive. But they're taking proposals from religious entities that would compromise care at facilities that were built, sustained, and currently paid for with tax dollars. We've successfully gone to commissioners ahead of time, proactively warned them about what this would mean for care and some of the legal consequences of getting involved, and have been successful in rejecting proposals from religious systems, both in Colorado Springs and La Rume, Wyoming. Louisville, Kentucky is a different ball of wax altogether. University Hospital, which was founded by public money, but run by a quasi-private organization, agreed to follow the religious directives when it wanted to join together with Catholic Health Initiatives in a large merger there, a three-way merger. There would have been a ban on tubal ligations, therapeutic abortions, and provision of birth control at the hospital pharmacy. Patients would have been redirected to a suburban hospital east of downtown. University Hospital, by the way, is the safety net hospital in downtown Louisville. This was not a great solution for reproductive health care. University Hospital also argued that it was a private entity and therefore did not require to seek approval from state officials. Luckily, the state disagreed, and the AG and the state governor rejected the deal, specifically citing reproductive health care. They said the loss of those services would have been a material change, and they also specifically questioned the influence of a religious entity on a publicly owned institution. I'm just going to quickly finish here. A compromise was reached in that case. A new proposal was quickly received approval from the AG and governor, because now it was okay to have a carve-out solution inside the hospital So the labor and delivery floor was maintained by University Medical Center, the quasi-private organization, to maintain tubal ligations, medically indicated terminations, and birth control services on that floor, separately incorporated floor, and the hospital pharmacy. The rest of the building, CHI, Catholic Health Initiatives, asked University Hospital to merely respect the ERDs. Back in Washington, just quickly, there are 53 hospitals, that's about half the acute care hospitals run by public health districts in Washington state. Two of them have already partnered with PeaceHealth, the Catholic system, although they have no maternity services. And three publicly owned hospitals are together considering proposals that all include maternity services. Two have already begun exclusive talks with PeaceHealth. There is a question about whether this would be a violation of the Reproductive Privacy Act that I mentioned earlier, wherein if you offer maternity services at a public hospital, you also are required to offer birth control and abortion services. So the big question right now is whether these partnerships are a violation of that state law. And the public health districts are looking at this very, very closely right now. So in conclusion, from the recommendations, obviously government oversight of proposed hospitals are huge. Not every state has a regulatory process, but it's very, very important in our work to help strengthen to identify and address any loss of health care services and require steps to address any potential loss as a condition of the approval of the transaction. In states that regulate hospitals, regulators must scrutinize the transactions to assess whether they will result in a loss of vital health care services, including reproductive health care. And hospitals seeking approval of a transaction should be required to present a plan of affirmative steps they will take to address any potential loss of services. In states also that regulate hospital transactions, a condition of approval of a transaction on the completion of a hospital's plan of affirmative steps, they should take action to require steps that are not taken. So if the hospital reneges on their promises, there should definitely be penalties and possibility of taking away the approval process altogether if they do not fulfill their promised steps. And finally, in deals involving publicly owned hospitals, there definitely needs to be an extra scrutiny by state officials. And in our experience, both in progressive states and in not-so-progressive states, the Attorney General is in a great position to analyze issues of public religious entanglement. Thank you.